Invite you to turn to the passage of the Lord's Word, 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 10, from which the sermon is taken this evening. Verses 9 and 10 will be those verses we will look at. Let us hear the Word of the Lord, 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 10. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine might not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourselves. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. May God add His blessing to the reading of the Word. After Paul encourages the group of Christians at Ephesus not to engage in worldly pursuits in order to attempt to gain happiness, reminding them that godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul goes on to describe the many pitfalls Christians can fall into if they make the pursuit of riches their goal in life, not the least of which is to realize that pursuit for earthly treasures leads to coveting things, coveting temporal things, which gets in the way of loving the eternal things. When that happens, it's called idolatry. And idolatry has consequences that people today tend to play down or ignore. But as our verses show tonight, in verses 9 and 10, idolatry, coveting worldly things, can have consequences that are deadly. And tonight I've used this provocative title, Love That Causes Death, as my sermon title. And it's really based on verses 9 and 10. They that will be rich or desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's not that that being rich is an automatic pathway to destruction and perdition. Paul is not saying that, but it is very clear that the desire to be rich, the desire to have an abundance of material possessions, is what is the issue at hand. And we have looked at many passages which speak of such things. I commend to you a couple as we begin this evening. Matthew 13:22, Jesus says regarding the parable of the sower, "He that receives seeds among the thorn is he that hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Luke 12:21 tells us that he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. And so when it says here in verse 9 that the rich who are singularly focused upon attaining more of the things of this world fall into several life-threatening situations. They fall into temptation. They fall into a snare. The temptations themselves become a snare. And this word for snare can be translated as a trap. A trap. Now, we don't do much hunting anymore here, but if you lived in an area in certain remote areas, they still do a great deal of hunting. In fact, they depend upon it, and they go out and they set their snares, their traps, and they're quite elaborate things. But depending on the kind of game they're looking for, they generally will have some sort of wire noose with some sort of bait to lure the animal in and to make them take one false step. And the trap, the snare is sprung. And when it springs, the noose is wrapped around the animal's neck, and the animal doesn't realize initially what happens. And what does it try to do? It struggles to get away. And the more it struggles, the more the trap tightens the noose. The more the snare begins to get tighter and tighter and tighter until eventually the animal loses its breath and suffocates and dies. Now, I know these are not things we like to talk about, and some people would even be upset if you were to talk about these kinds of things. But this is the way our forefathers used to do things. This is how they got their food in many cases. We're not that far removed from it. And there are still people doing it today. Now, a snare can also be something that is used metaphorically. By metaphorically, I mean it could be, a snare could be something that brings peril to you, or something that brings loss or destruction. It's an alluring thing and a seducing thing that becomes a snare to you. It becomes something that catches you in its web and then manages to slowly, over a period of time, the more you want it, the more you desire it, the more it begins to choke out the life. And Paul is, of course, speaking to Christians today about Christians in the passage here, about others who go headlong into the pursuit of other things, other worldly things, other worldly material pleasures or money or whatever else is out there, whatever else is out there that they give their love and attention and devotion to. He's talking about, don't you get sucked up into that. Because it has dangerous consequences. It's not a game. You know, most of us who are on this side of the world of riches, from time to time, let's not kid ourselves, we envy them. And yet, if we take seriously what's being said here, those people are slowly having the life sucked out of them. And the language that's used is very interesting. You got snares being talked about, and then the next phrase, it talks about drowning. You know, what's drowning? That's death. Drowning leads to death. And you've got other kinds of language that makes it very clear. Verse 10, destruction, perdition. These are not things that Christians want to associate themselves with. They're not things, these worldly things are not things to play around with. They're not spiritually neutral. Because we crave them. In our sinful hearts, we tend to crave them. We tend to want them. They become lusts for us. They become something we covet after. And the more we covet, the more we want. We're never satisfied. And the more we want, the less we're interested in God. The less we love God. And the less we love anybody who gets in our way of getting what we love. They fall into a snare. Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with, the word is surfeiting, which is a King James word, but it means, lest you be overcharged with wasting away. I mean, who in their right mind would do something that would cause them to waste away? And we are in our right mind, but it's because of this real passion for things of the world that causes us to do the things which are mentioned in, again, in Luke 21:34, overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of the life. For as a snare they shall come upon them that dwell on the face of the earth. People who make this kind of pursuit their life. It says that in verse 9, it says they fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Foolish and hurtful lusts. Lusts. Of course, we understand that if it's foolish, it means it's without understanding. It's without wisdom. It's hurtful. It's injurious. They fall into it. They want it. They want to continue there. But you see, it just keeps building. It doesn't just stop with the desire to covet and to want. It leads into all kinds of other difficulties, all kinds of spiritually injurious matters. And I would say, even to some degree, it can lead to a diminishment of your physical health. to be so consumed by these things of the world. Falling into hurtful lusts. Desiring, craving, longing for what is forbidden. In this case, what is forbidden? Thank God it's forbidden. Is it not true that by God forbidding it, He is at least trying to preserve our life? All these things which we can fall into are not beneficial. Notice snare, foolish and hurtful lusts, and then drown. Drowning people in perdition, unto perdition and unto destruction. We could anecdotally talk about many people who we may personally know or who we have read about who made money or the things of this world as their primary goal in this life. And they pursued it, and they alienated everybody. They alienated their friends, their family, their loved ones. And they drown. When you drown, thank God I don't have experience about it, and others may know more about it than I do. But you know, you don't quite die right away when you drown. There's a certain clear understanding if you're in a helpless situation that you're going to die, but it takes a while. However long you can hold your breath. You know that these things are not good for you if you have any, just because the law of God is written on your heart, you know you shouldn't be doing this even as an unbeliever. Let's not talk about believers, let's talk about unbelievers. You know you shouldn't be doing this. You know it's not beneficial. Drowning will surely happen, but it isn't going to be a pleasant death. It isn't going to be a pleasant destruction. It's not just destruction or perishing or ruin. I mean, you know, you see Gehazi here in this story, and there's many reasons why the penalty on Gehazi is so severe. He doesn't die right away, does he? But what happens to him? Because he lusted after a man's material things, because he lusted after those things, what happened to him? He has leprosy for the rest of his life. Not only did he have it, but his whole family got it. You think that's pleasant? We know that's not pleasant. Sinful men who desire to be switched, who desire to be rich, are slowly drowned in this life. Everything else may look great. It may look tremendous. They may have everything. They may have everything this world imagines. But if they don't have God, they're being inundated by the very things they covet. They're being slowly drowned with destruction as being inevitable, as being certain. And maybe you know people who fit this category. This is all they think about. 24 hours a day. Accumulating of stuff, accumulation of wealth, accumulation of riches, live in luxury, Go wherever you want to go. Spend whatever you want to do. Indulge yourself. Enjoy life while you can. They don't realize they're under a death sentence. They're being slowly drowned and will be destroyed. And not only is there destruction, but there is ultimate perishing from this world. And sometimes, because they have so devoted themselves to that kind of worldly pursuit, that they have alienated everybody in their family. And when the time comes to be at their funeral, guess what? There ain't anybody there. Not that they matter, not that the dead cares, but there's nobody to mourn their passing because they've already burnt their bridges. And furthermore, as has been made so clear in numerous places of the scripture, we should not seek after these things, but we should seek after the things that lead to eternal life. Nothing of this world is eternal. All the riches, all the silver, all the gold, it's not eternal. What good does the thing of this world have in the spiritual realm? What can it do to save your soul? Not one thing. What will you do with all that you've accumulated over all of your life? And all that you've lusted for, and all that you've schemed for, and all that you've ruined family relationships and partnerships because you wanted more and more and more, never satisfied. What good is it? Who are you going to give it to? Okay, you give it to your family, or you give it to somebody else, so what are they going to do with it? They're going to get rid of it. They're going to spend it. They don't care about what you think when you're dead. Perdition. Sinful men who desire to be rich are slowly drowned by their own riches. Paul says that a desire for these things has so many problems associated with it. Foolishness. Slowly drowning. Going to hell. Life lived without any point. You know, we live in a culture that is increasingly obsessed in a kind of backroot way. We're increasingly obsessed with health. And if you don't believe that, take a look at the next drug company commercial that comes on your television screen. And they'll go on and they'll talk about this drug. And I always marvel at the end of the commercial, they give a disclaimer. Such and such a drug has been known to cause heart problems, cancer, all kinds of bad side effects, diabetes, you know, drugs that's supposed to stop that actually, or stop one thing, may actually do that, but contribute to diabetes in the same person. And our government, you know, our government and our country is so concerned about that, that they got to get this warning out there. They're so concerned about death, because that's what they're trying to prevent. Of course, the drug company is trying to prevent a suit. But the government, you know, wants people. Another better example. What about banning large sugar sodas because there's too much sugar? Or what about banning trans fats? What does that mean? People are concerned about life on one hand, but they're concerned about death on the other. They don't want people to die. And our government's doing everything they can to prevent that. And they're not saying one thing to anybody about the spiritual problems that cause death. And not saying anything about eternal spiritual problems that people are going through. And if you ask them to do it, they'd laugh you out of the building for even trying. What a foolish culture. It's not just our culture, it's the whole world. We're not the only ones. It's endemic with human with being human beings. We're so caught up on everything that's supposed to enhance and make our lives better, and yet we ignore what God has done in His own word to protect us. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Physical death, yes, is bad, but it ain't near as bad as eternal separation from God. Why? Because you loved the things of the world. You lusted for them instead of loving God. So you let your whole life pass without a thought given to Him. Or if you did, give a thought. Bully for you. But it wasn't because you gave Him a thought. It's because He was trying to get your attention. And then we come to this familiar passage, very familiar statement. After Paul talks about this focus on riches, this drive, this covetousness, this idolatry that brings about temptation and snaring and slowly destroying the breath of life in a person, drowning men in destruction and perdition, he writes, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The love of money is the root of all evil. Literally speaking, the word there is the love of silver. Combination of the word silver and love. And this leads to coveting. This love of silver becomes greater than anything else. Greater than family. Greater than your neighbor's welfare. Greater than your country. Greater than even your own welfare. Greater than God and greater than His Christ. In Luke chapter 12, in the parable of the rich man who had many barns and decided to build more, God wrote, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you, then where shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Proverbs 27:24, "Riches are not forever." Real simple. Ecclesiastes 5:15-16. "As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked he shall return to go to as he came, and he shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry, he shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. This is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so he shall go. What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. The love for riches that drowns men in destruction and perdition is caused by the desire to be rich. I mean, that's one of the things. It's not the only thing, but you get the point. It's this incessant love of the valuable things of this world more than loving God. It's called a root of all evil. And when you think about a root, roots nourish the tree or the plant. When you say that the love of money is the root of all evil, you're saying about that person who has such a thing is that what is nourishing his existence is his love for money. Or what we would also say or refer to as his sinful heart. A sinful heart that loves everything there is but God. Loves everything there is will lead to all other kinds of mechanisms and schemes and plots to acquire even more. Idolatry cannot stand to be satisfied. It always wants more. And while it wants more of the things of the world, it will hate God and it will hate you if you dare get in the way. Which is another way of saying they don't love God and they don't love their neighbor. The word here for the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a follow-up word that in verse 10 that says that for that some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They have stretched out as far as they possibly can reach to get what it is they want. Just like roots stretch out, you know, to get the nourishment it needs to feed the tree. The love of these material things stretches out to get what it needs. And I think that if those of you can remember when you saw the movie, I can't remember which one it is, but it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy, when the character Gollum, who lusts for this magical golden ring, stretches out as far as he can to take the ring off of the one character's hands. And in the end, he gets the ring and falls over backwards into a boiling cauldron of fire. Drowning in perdition and destruction. Let us have a better love as God's people. Let us not love the things of this world. In fact, let us take our cue from the Apostle Paul who writes in Colossians 3, verse 5, mortify, put to death those things of your members which are upon the earth. And it mentions a list, and then it adds coveting, covetousness, which is idolatry. People have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They cause distress unto themselves. They will rant and rave that you caused the problem or that God caused the problem. But in reality, they caused the prior problem. They killed themselves. It's not a form of suicide we think about, is it? But the love that causes death, real spiritual death, is the love for the things of this world instead of the love for God. A better desire would be Hebrews 11, verse 13 and following, where it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen it from afar, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared a city for them." I leave you with this one thought from Psalm 16, verse 4. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their libations of blood, nor shall I take their names upon my lips. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may it be that those we have discussed this evening, those who love other things more than they love you, may it yet be, O Lord, that you will hear the pleadings of those who know them and care for them, Lord, that they would yet hear the gospel and repent of their foolishness and turn from the ways that are killing them and turn unto you and live. May they confess their sin before you with grief and hatred, and may they turn, Lord, unto the living God and seek to serve him and to covet him all the rest of the days of their life. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.